Awesome. Thank you. So we're in the series, Behold, a Savior is Born. We're going to be in this all month long of December. And what we're looking at is we're looking at the prophecies of Jesus that were well established way before Jesus' arrival. But then we're also going to be looking at the emotions and the feelings surrounded his anticipation of coming. And so as we go through this, our focus this December is that we get to live in a world that this has already happened. We know the story. And so we need to celebrate every year as a reminder of the birth that was so, that they were anticipation, they were waiting on this. So we get it every year. And every year Christmas needs to be that reminder that God sent his son. And so we're going to be focused on Behold, a Savior is Born. It's a sermon series that came from a company called Outreach that does a lot of outreach ministry work. And so we're adapting it. We're changing a little bit. And so I wanted to give them credit. I don't want you to think this is all me this time. But here's a video. And I use videos because sometimes that can petition the heart much more than I can say words up here. Awesome. And everyone in that video had a part in this Christmas story with the birth of Jesus Christ. And so the title of tonight's sermon is going to be The Joy of Anticipation. And so as we look through this, we're going to experience the excitement that we have as Christmas approaches. But we're going to look at the emotions of Mary, the shepherds, and all the other people that were involved into the birth of Jesus that had a part in it. And so we're going to explore what this anticipation means, what it looks like. And we're also going to continue looking at the prophecies that were being fulfilled and why that is a reason to celebrate today. We still today experience the anticipation of Jesus' arrival because the Bible says that he's going to come again. This was the birth of his first arrival. He came as a lamb. His second arrival, he's coming as the great judge, the savior, the warrior that we're looking for, the one that's going to cast judgment. And so what I want you all to do is to think that my joy is not found in my circumstances, but it's found in what Jesus did through his ministry and coming to this world. And I want you all to feel in your hearts that this joy that you do feel, when it arises, it cannot be taken away. Because the joy that is felt in us comes from the Lord. But I also want you all to do something. I want you all to find ways to celebrate with loved ones this year, this Christmas. That takes individual accounts of finding ways to make this season fun, enjoyable, right? Fill someone else with joy. As we look at Christmas, I know that we just got done wrapping some gifts. And for me, wrapping gifts is unbearable. I attempted. I sat there. I made it through maybe four or five. But it ignites something inside of me that kind of sets down a countdown inside my soul of that day for Christmas to arrive. And that day of Christmas, there's a bug on me. The day of Christmas to arrive is not necessarily was for us, but as parents, it's for the joy that we see in our children's face, right? And so that lasts until lunchtime before we all crash out and tired and exhausted. But that morning is something we always look for. But this year, Christmas, as I grow in wisdom and stature in the Word, this year is often a reminder of who Jesus truly is and what he's truly done. And we cannot ever discredit that and have that be replaced by the gifts and traditions of Christmas. So last week we talked about how hope fills our hearts when we think about the fulfillment of God's word. And we talked about the prophet Isaiah, and he said these things years before Jesus' arrival. And this was a confirmation. The Jewish individuals they had this context that they were waiting for a Messiah to come. And so God gave his people a sign through using men that were called prophets to give a foreshadowing or a heads up that this Messiah is coming and this is how he's going to come. And it's such a specific way that once he came, it should have been undeniable. Because I don't know too many people that come into this world through a virgin mother, right? And so that was going to be one of the signs. But the good news for us is this has already happened. These signs already happened. He already came. The fulfillment of these prophecies have already been done. And so every Christmas, we get the joy of anticipation of the arrival of Jesus in our life and our hearts, the Emmanuel, the God with us, as a reminder every season, every Christmas, that God is with us. So every year, well, at least like I say the past 3 years, right, Emily, we get excited and we actually get a form of anticipation about going to Lazy Acres with the boys. And we've been doing this because the family goes, we alternate years. One year it's Caden, one year it's Charlie. They pick trees and we go out there and they're sawing them down. And I love it because the commitment to saw it down is like, yeah. But once you get there doing it, it's like, I need help. And I love seeing it because Caden will jump in with Charlie trying to cut it, and then Emily's got to jump in to help Caden, and I'm sitting back with the dude. He's got a chainsaw. But he's like, I'm not going to cut it down. I like watching them do it. It's an experience. And it even shows us that even with the right tools, it's still hard. There's work that has to go into it. But what I love, though, is once that tree falls, we go and we pick out an ornament every year. These things become tradition. And as we pick out that ornament, we write our names on it. We either do the cons, and some years we let the boys pick out their own, and that goes on the tree. And so at 1 year, well, hopefully we'll have enough ornaments collected based off family tradition and this excitement that we have to have a tree full of ornaments from Lazy Acres. But then we leave, we go up there, we cut down the tree, and all that anticipation, all that excitement going, and it's like 20 minutes, and we're leaving. I'm like, what? And we go eat. And then we go out and eat, and the boys get to pick where they want to eat. But then we come back an hour and a half later because we got the second part of it. And so if we just left with the first part thinking we weren't coming back, it doesn't seem like it was a whole lot of fun. It was cutting down a tree for 20 minutes, dropping $80, and leaving. But there's so many memories and so many things that are being formulated and founded through dinner and the anticipation of going back and seeing what lights are coming and waiting in line and getting the hot chocolates and seeing the kids play on the games. But what brings even more joy is the excitement getting the tree home. And then the kids usually check out and the buzzing of excitement is with my wife. She gets all excited about getting that tree up, getting it decorated, where us, the boys, kind of check out at that point. But we get excited to see what effort she puts into it because it's beautiful. A house that turns into what's just common has now become something that looks like it could be out of a Hallmark movie. And it brings a feeling of joy. And once again, all this being said is we have anticipation. We're planning gifts and what this looks like and how to hide them from the kids or whatnot. But this anticipation is to come, that gifts show up out of nowhere too, and it brings joy. Because we're called to be givers, not receivers. Because we've been given. And so we carry that on. And as we look at the biblical Christmas narrative, we're going to look at the characters in the story that all of them waiting on Jesus, they were all marked by their own individual forms of joy. And you would think that after thousands of years of having this prophetic information and no Messiah to come, that this anticipation would have been marked by despair. Like, is he really going to come? Is he ever going to come? And when he does come, it's filled with joy. That hope comes, that redemption comes, that eternity comes with the birth of the Messiah. So here I have joy can be found in what will be and not what is. This is the key point number one is we look at Luke and he gives us a little insight into some aspects of the Christmas narrative that Matthew doesn't give us. We are told that a woman named Elizabeth is pregnant under miraculous circumstances. Elizabeth happens to be the cousin of Mary, but also happens to be Mary is the mother of Jesus, but Mary goes and visits Elizabeth. While the two are pregnant, it was during their interaction that we see something miraculous happen itself. So here we go. We got Luke 1:39 through 35. I'm going to have it up there. I'm going to read it. At the time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her." So think about this. Elizabeth had a miraculous marriage. She was barren. Her husband, Zechariah, was a priest working on this duties rotation. An angel came to him, gave him prophetic knowledge that she was going to have a baby. Elizabeth was old. And sure enough, Zechariah had disbelief saying, he's like, "And you're going to call him John." Well, the angel struck him mute. Zechariah couldn't speak until the baby was born because he had disbelief. He didn't believe what the angel was telling him. So as the time went on, an angel comes to Mary and says, "Look, which is Elizabeth's cousin, family members, you're going to carry the Savior. You're a virgin, but you're going to have the baby inside of you. It's from God. It's from the Holy Spirit. And you're going to name him Jesus." But what I love about this is when Mary arrives to Elizabeth's home. So you think about Mary being maybe a teenage girl, dropped that she's a virgin and that she's going to be, the Holy Spirit is going to put baby Jesus inside of her. It's kind of miraculous, right? But then he says, "Your cousin's pregnant too." So she gets up and she goes to Elizabeth's house. And when they get together, the wombs leap for joy. And I read one commentary and it said that when they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they came together, that John the Baptist is a baby in the presence of Jesus and Mary, they leapt for joy. And I love that. But this joyful response, it says that Elizabeth praises Mary for the belief in God. Mary never doubted and never hesitated. And Elizabeth said that it was her willingness to submit to God's plan. I think about this and I'm looking at it as like pregnancy. I've experienced it one time, not personally, but it was foreign for me because I didn't know what was going on. But there was a connection that was growing inside, right? And that process was happening the whole time. For me, it was delivery day and wah! And you fall in love. And so I'm sitting here thinking as I'm looking through this, and these babies are leaping for joy for one another because they're both miraculous births. And they're both miraculous plans that God's going to use them. One is going to pave the way for the other, and one is greater than the other. And that's Jesus. John the Baptist is going to pave the way for Jesus. And so as this connection happens, I know it was probably reassuring for Mary to sit there and say, Elizabeth, you're pregnant too. So even God, in the midst of this plan, gave her a sense of familiar comfort, right? And I love that. Here's where we're going to focus in verse 45. It says, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. So it's this belief that the Lord is going to be good on his word and do what he says. That's where she's getting blessed, is that belief. And I love that, because how many times in our life, and we know Jesus has came and we celebrate this season, and we still struggle with, see, Mary, she's blessed because she trusted and believed in something that has not yet come to pass. This was the start of the story, but she still believed. So sometimes anticipating God just showing up could be enough to lift your spirits. Emily and I have got to experience that with this ministry. There's moments to where we didn't see where things were going, but then there's the moments that he was good to his word, and we're filled with joy. We trusted him. But Mary's anticipation was met with the fulfillment of God's promise, bringing immeasurable joy. Joy that we can't even count. And I love this time of year, because Charlie Brown has a Christmas story. And in that Christmas story, we know Charlie Brown is often, in a way, he's kind of blamed for everything, but he also has a cynical mindset and whatnot. But Charlie Brown was having a trouble getting into the Christmas spirit because of his little sad Christmas tree and the commercialization of Christmas. Charlie Brown was never really a kid. He was past his age. So his friend Linus said to Charlie Brown, he says, you're the only person I know who could take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem. Think about that. See, Christians seem to have the same type of problem that Charlie Brown has. That we have this wonderful time of year, and these blessings are all around us, but yet we get focused on something that creates bitterness in us, and we turn this joyous season into a problem. See, we should be celebrating what Jesus' life, death, and resurrection could mean in our lives, rather than moaning about the things that we found wrong in the season. So we really got to challenge our heart's perspective on where we're at. Are we focusing on what is wrong, or are we focusing on what is well? We all can find reasons to be gloomy, wore out, tired, defeated. But we also find God's gift in the presence of all of this, too. That's why Emmanuel means God with us. He's with us, he's in us, he's through us, through Jesus Christ. So sometimes people may still be waiting on God to do something in their life. When God does this, my life will be different. But maybe some people are anticipating an answer to a sorrowful prayer. But the truth is, today, even in the midst of the trials and tribulations, God's not done with us. He's always on the move. He's always one step ahead. And whenever we're in his presence, and when we're walking with Jesus, he says anything's possible. So just like Jesus, the presence of Mary, when Elizabeth was near, brought forth joy. His presence in our life can do the exact same thing. And oftentimes that's what I ask for, is I want people to be on fire for the Lord. I want people to come through here and be so intimately involved in reading the scripture and studying the word of God, not to be pharisaical or Bible thumpers, but to be so in love with the story of God that he gives his word. And so many of us are sitting here and we're waiting for the Lord to speak to us, and we never hear him because we never open his Bible. So if you want to hear the Lord, then read the scripture. Read the prophecies. And I love this because these prophecies are so specific. There's no way statistics can even put a number on it that they could get this accurate after 2,000 years. But when it happens and these signs happen, these individuals, some believed, but most denied it. We still have a culture of individuals over in Israel, the Jewish people, that still believe that Jesus never came. They're still waiting for the Messiah to come. They're still waiting for prophecy to be fulfilled. They've missed it. And that's why I love us coming into the Word of God and reading this and talking about this, because we are acknowledging that we're not missing it. We're trying to grasp it. And our everyday encounters of sorrows, trials, and tribulations is a reminder for us to surrender and be fully submitted and humble before the Lord. Good news brings great joy is point two. See, another set of characters, I love this. We showed this video at our Thanksgiving, is the shepherds. Shepherds were people that are the common workers. It was a pretty common job. However, shepherds were a class of people that weren't very well thought of. They were your migrant workers. They were your lowly workers. But yet their jobs were super important. They were out in the fields. They lived in the fields. They slept with the sheep. They were stinky. They were dirty. Some were even untrustworthy. People just didn't like shepherds. Any portrayal of like The Chosen or any biblical movie, people didn't want anything to do with shepherds. But the interesting fact is that the message of Jesus came to who first? The shepherds. Came to three shepherds, maybe four. We don't know the exact number, I don't think. But they came to shepherds. And I love this, the pilot episode of The Chosen, because it shows the shepherd that's kind of limp. He's got a disability of some sort, and he's struggling keeping up with the other shepherds. But yet, you can see that his heart was drawn because he wasn't conforming to just the traditions. He thought that Jesus potentially was something greater than what they were thinking. But when the angels appeared to the shepherds, this guy had a taste for Jesus, and he took off running. And he ran, and he ran. He left the other shepherds that were physically capable in the dust. So no matter what your struggle, no matter what your illness, no matter what your diagnosis, if your heart's desire is for Jesus, you're going to get to him. And I love that because earlier in the encounter, that same shepherd offered Mary, while she was on donkey back, water. And we don't know if the Bible truly says that. It could be adaption. But I love it because he showed kindness first to a stranger. And when they got to that manger, the other shepherd showed up and he came in there, the one that was the limp, the one that was disabled, and he fell down before the Lord. And Joseph, Jesus' adoptive father, his earthly father, the other shepherd's like, let me hold the baby. I want to hold the Messiah. Handed it to him. I love that. I love that so much. But in Luke 2, 8 through 15, it says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appear with angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. When the angel had left them and gone into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. The shepherds were doing their job. They were doing what they were doing. And at night, a host of heavenly angels came, singing. Could you imagine what that would be like? But it's funny how they always follow up when an angel is singing, don't be terrified. They reassure them, don't be terrified. Don't be fearful of us. We have a message. And go and see. So in the middle of this night, just outside of Bethlehem, those angels did appear to the shepherds. And the Bible says it was marked by a great light. So every time the Bible says something about a great light, we know it's at night, but it's usually brighter than the sun. The shepherds saw this, and of course they were terrified. This was not a normal occurrence. It's not usually bright at night. This doesn't usually happen. But the angels are bringing them good news. And the reason why it's good news, because this is going to be a joy that's brought to all people. And I love this. This is the Savior, Jesus Christ. So the good news here is that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. He was sinless. He died and didn't deserve it, so we can live when we don't deserve it. Jesus gave us access to the Holy God. Jesus gave us his righteousness and the promise of eternal life. And Jesus promised to never leave us or forsake us. Jesus was the perfect lamb. He was the perfect sacrifice. He was sinless. He lived a life free of sin because he was truly God, truly man. And that's why he had to be born to a virgin, because man inherently is given sin through the sinful nature through birth. Two sinners coming together and make a baby is creating another sinner that needs the redemption of Jesus Christ. So that's why it's so powerful. It's so powerful to know that Jesus had to come through a Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit so he can come and he can bear the weight of what sin we do and being set apart to take it on as he took his last breath on the cross for people that don't deserve it. That's you and I. We don't deserve. And I can only think and imagine as I look at the baby pictures, Charlie and Caden were looking at this, and I'm thinking, could you imagine if God, that I knew Caden had to grow up to take on all the sins of this world? That he was going to die because of everyone's sin to be made right. I'm glad I'm not God because I couldn't do it. But God sent his son to do it. The great news here, and this time coming into Christmas, because the Bible says it's for all people. Jesus is not just the Savior. He's the Lord of all. He's the one that has given us life, and he's the rescuer of all people. This was not just good news for shepherds. This was good news for everyone. It's good news for us today. So as we approach this holiday season, we approach Christmas, this is why we can live with joy. This is why we can share the good news with others, because the baby Jesus was born. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, he's the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That baby, truly man and truly God, grew up. He grew in wisdom and stature. Jesus set aside his God card and he studied the word. He studied the scrolls. He studied the old prophets. He studied. And through that studying, he grew in that wisdom and stature. He didn't just come down here and sit there saying, I'm God, I know it all. He grew because he was like us. As he was here on earth, he experienced the experiences that we experience. He's seen the things. The only difference between him and I is he was the blameless lamb, where we are the guilty sinner. And I love this because he comes as a baby and he grows into a man to live a ministry as an adult for 3.5 years. And he did nothing but role modeled and showed this behavior to his disciples. That went on and reached the people today. Jesus only selected a few, and he knew those few would make the multitudes. The multiplication process would go through the disciples. So we get to stand here today preaching the word of God because Jesus started with a few. So walking in obedience to Jesus means Jesus, keeping your eyes on Jesus, keeping focused on Jesus. We're tempted from time to time to lose sight of this. I think everyone in this room can see that, especially if Jesus is the Lord of your heart, that we can be tempted to lose sight of where our joy comes from, that we wrap up our joy into another person, and when that person fails you and falls off that pedestal, then your joy is completely gone. That joy could be a husband, wife, friend, brother. But this is often a time where we need to remember where that joy truly originates from. The prophet Isaiah, centuries before Christ's birth, spoke of the anticipation of the coming Messiah. And in Isaiah 9:6, we hear the words, "For to us a child born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The anticipation of these words would echo through time, filling our hearts with joy that the promised Messiah brings. So as we celebrate this year and as we celebrate Christmas, let's celebrate the birth of Jesus. And let's not forget the joy that brings as the anticipation comes and it saturates our soul. Just as Mary, just as the Magi, just as the shepherds and the prophets, they awaited with hope. We too anticipate Christ's return.
Keep.